woman that Moses wrote about in Genesis 3:15 is Christ himself. That is, he is the seed of the woman. And that was the covenant that God made with Abraham. And that's the covenant that he continued to work out throughout all the ages. We come to Matthew 1 and see the genealogy of Jesus and the Lord God continuing to work generation after generation after generation to indeed bring Christ into the world. And we now read about what Christ is doing in John chapter 5. Well, concerning Luke 24 again, not only do the writings of Moses, those scriptures bear witness of Jesus, but he goes on to say that the prophets bear witness of him. And certainly you can remember a number of those. We won't turn to a lot of those passages, but one I think of in particular is Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And that's a good description of the crucifixion of Christ. And there are a lot of detail in Isaiah 53 about that. And then from the book of Psalms, Psalm 22 is also about the crucifixion of Christ. Psalm 23 is about the good shepherd. Jesus, again, John chapter 10, makes that claim. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But even before he said that, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So not only do the writings of Moses bear witness of Christ, not only do the prophets bear witness of Christ, not only do the Psalms bear witness of Christ, but the whole Old Testament is bearing witness of the Messiah, who is the promised one to come to save God's people. Now, back to the Gospel of John. And this brings up a subject that we will get answered as we go along. But verse 40, Jesus told them, even though my works bear witness of me, even though the Father bears witness of me, even though the scriptures bear witness of me, verse 40 says, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Now, there's a question here that is in my mind, and we'll get the answer to it as we continue through and work through the Gospel of John. Jesus himself will give us the answer. But the question is this: why is it that some are willing to come to him and believe and have eternal life and others are not? Why are some willing, as we go back to chapter 1 for just a moment, John chapter 1 verse 11 says, and he came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the question is, why is that? Why are some willing to receive him and others are not? Why are some willing to believe in him and have eternal life and others are not willing to? Why are some willing to come to him to be saved and others are not and reject him and who he is and what he does, and even all of those that bear witness of him? Now, there's a biblical answer to that, and we get a good introduction into why that is in verse 13 of chapter 1, but we're going to hear more about it from the lips of Jesus and what he taught about it when we get into chapter 6 and chapter 10. This is, I think, a difficult question for many in the Christian community, especially those who are not biblical in their thinking about it. There seem to be many who profess faith in Christ who are of the mindset that it's man's choice. It's up to me as to whether or not I receive him or not. And it's up to me as to whether or not I come to Jesus or not. It's up to me as to whether or not I'm saved or not. And yet, in verse 13 of chapter 1, we begin to get the answer to that as to why some received him and others do not, when we read verse 13. And it says, he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's by the will of God that some believe and some receive and some come to Jesus and others do not. And it's not by the will of the flesh and it's not by the will of man. It's by the will of God. And we will see the Lord Jesus Christ himself elaborating on that when we get into chapter 6, the latter part of chapter 6, and we get into John chapter 10. Jesus will even address the issue in John chapter 10 concerning who it is that he died for. Now, again, in the Christian community, if you took a survey, I would say there would be the majority of people, which if you ask them the question, who did Jesus die for? I think the majority would say he died for everybody. Well, is that what Jesus teaches? Is that what he says? And we'll get to that and see what he says about it when we get into chapter 10. But let's go back now to chapter 5 and conclude our time together message for today. So again, Jesus told them in verse 40, you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. And he goes on to say, I do not receive glory from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. So I've come in my Father's name and you do not receive him, or you do not receive me. If another shall come in his name, you'll receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the only one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And so Jesus is simply speaking the truth to these Jews who are opposing him, that they don't even believe the one who they say they believe, who is Moses. And he ends, or the chapter ends with that conversation that Jesus had with them when he's speaking the truth to them. So again, who is it that bears witness of Jesus, the works that he does, the Father who sent him, and the scriptures themselves, the whole Old Testament? And yet those Pharisees who were steeped in the Old Testament, especially the Pharisees, just did not and would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to explain more about why that is, that some do not and others do, as we work on through chapters 6 and following, especially chapters 6 and 10. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for all that's recorded for us in both the Old and New Testaments, all 66 books of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that it is our mission to bring glory to you by believing, teaching, preaching, and obeying your word and sharing all of your truth with others. And Lord, we thank you that it's your Holy Spirit who has convinced and convicted us that your word is true and what it says about you, Lord, is absolutely true. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit has caused us to be born again and opened our eyes and hearts and minds to the truth that we do believe, Lord, we have come to you and we believe in you and we've received you as Savior and Lord because God the Father, it is your will that we have done so. And you have given us to the Son, and all that you give to the Son will come to him and not perish. And we are in that number, and we cannot thank you enough for that. But we do thank you and praise you for what you've said to us this morning. And we pray that you would continue to convince us of the truth of your word as we work our way on through this Gospel of John and as we study your word each day. All of this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.